Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening, everyone. I believe we are ready to get started. I thought more than this.
I don't know what happened.
I
don't know how they got
over here jamming on
the phone. I was getting my little jam on. I'm sorry.
I was too. I was like, okay, that's not the end of the song. But good evening, Dr. E. How are you doing?
I am blessed, my sister. I am blessed. How are you this evening?
I'm excited. I really and truly am, because I tuned into what I wanted to talk about this evening, and I just spoke to one of my mentors on the phone about what I was going to talk about, and he got me riled up. So I'm like, you know, it's time to talk to the women. So if there's any woman on the phone that want to start coming in now, I was watching the Oprah Winfrey episode. She had two of them, the Where We Go From Here, you know, with the panel. But me not being, you know, who they are, you know, they're the governors and the mayors and the whatever. Me being me and who I am,
right.
I still have to ask myself that question. Valoris, where do you go from here? With all the information that has been presented and brought out, not just, yes, we're going to factor in George Floyd and we're going to factor in the coronavirus, but everything else that seems to have came out of the woodworks of information and uncovering and revealing and being able to, where are you going to go from here? And so many talk about not going back to the norm, but do we even have the next, you know, it's because again, we can't do anything until we get somewhat organized. And so I really want to talk to the single mothers. I want to talk to entrepreneurial women. I want to talk to women in ministry, activists, frontline. I want to talk to everyone to find out from them what is your next step? Because I remember reading a book called Be the Answer by Andrew Moment. And that was a dynamic book Now, let me tell you something. After reading the book, it was, I don't know how long after, I was tested on that, on what I read, because somebody had called me and said, you know, I need to get my car. Oh, Pastor Royce, can you pray for me? I got to get my car fixed. And I know I don't need it to be so much and da-da-da-da, you know. And I said, okay, I'll even pray for the car. So I prayed. And so then they called back. They said, well, it wasn't as bad as I thought. You know, it was this, and that, whatever. You know, still a little bit out of my budget. But I, you know, and I heard God said, give her the money you got. Give her the money you got in your savings to get her car fixed. I want to look at God and say, you must got, do you know how long it took for me to save that money, whatever? He said, why pray if you're not going to be the answer? So I learned from then that what we're praying about, we're actually the answer to our own prayer most of the time. But we're not acting upon what we know to do. So I would just want to see what is the next step. And a lot of the women talk to them. Do I have, is anybody, I know I have one that wants to, probably going to come on. But do I have anybody on the board yet, Pastor E? I'm going to work here tonight. Hold on. Step away. Let me see if Ebony is in. Hello? Okay. So
no, I was on mute.
Still,
I'm sorry. I apologize. I was on mute. Yes, we have a 414 number, last four, 6026. I know Minister Terry is on board. There's a couple other numbers on here. I need everybody to share this, blast it out. If you're on here and you want to get in this conversation tonight, where do you go from here, ladies? That's a question I could ask the brothers also. But let's allow you guys to come on in here. Area code 414, last four, 6026. You're live on Women Speak Now.
That's me. My name is Minister Ebony. My name is Minister Ebony Jones.
Yes, Minister Ebony Jones. Okay, Pastor, I'm going to talk to her for a little bit because this is one of my great and awesome dear heart friends. I call her Pastor. She say Minister.
Okay.
Pastor Ebony Jones.
And we want to get all the ladies involved in this conversation tonight. So
get them in. Get them in. So
dial one,
them in.
And we'll bring you in now.
Okay.
Amen.
I'm bringing them in. So Pastor Jones, she is a minister. Pastor Jones, I know she don't mind me telling her because Pastor Jones also has cerebral palsy. And but she is a mother to a great son that is coming up. She's also an author and an entrepreneur and whatever else I can name off. But Ebony, so if you can just tell me, again, you have Calvin, who's now going to the third grade. Congratulations. You have Calvin, who is now going to the third grade, and you already come with, of course, you have no limits at all. But to society, mm-hmm. you already come with a limitation in raising a young black man in this society. What has been your heartfelt thoughts for your own child moving forward?
Well, it's funny that you asked me that question because now Calvin is starting to ask more questions because he sees the protests and the curfew and all of that. And he's like, why is the police killing all the black men? And he said, why the police can't be like me and my friends? I have friends of all colors, and we all get along. Why they just can't get along with us? And I have to explain to him that, unfortunately, the way society is, we as black people are always going to be judged by the color of our skin, even though that's not what God created us for. So me and Bernard, we try to instill in him that to continue to love people in spite of what, you know, how they treat you, how they may feel about you. Because as you know, even though Calvin is young, he is very overprotective of me.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very interesting season to be in. Spiritually and physically, because it's like you understand the spiritual side of it, but like the physical side of you wants to respond in so many different ways, but we are encouraging him to own who he is and just continue to be who he is and not, you know, treat people differently because of everything that he's seen going on. Don't want mm-hmm. him to, you know, build hate in his heart towards anyone
right.
or anything like that.
So a quick question for you, and then I'm going to bring in and the other ones introduce themselves online. Where are you going to go from here, Ebony? I mean, in your ministry, in your, you know, you got a new release book out. She has devotional books out, kind of an activist for the BIS, but we kind of scratch out the BIS, but the able-bodied people love it. She's definitely a voice for them. Where are you going to go from here with all that's going on?
I'm going to continue to push my message of being strong in who you are, but also giving them more push to use their voice even more because, like you said, we are differently able as well as, you know, black or whatever, and we have to know that our voice has a purpose, too, to be heard. So just continue to do what I'm doing, but push them a little bit more harder just to, you know, stand up for themselves. Because if we don't, things like this are going to, you know, continue to happen.
Now, I have a very hard question. I know I said that was the last question, but one came to me, and I know that you can handle it because you know me. Are the disabled or differently abled? I like how she called it. Hopefully all my listeners are listening. She calls it differently abled, so they're not disabled. Are they discriminated against?
Yes, we're always discriminated against from who we date to how we live, everything. So, you know, it's like we have double discrimination.
Mm-hmm.
But that's where I continue to put myself out there in the forefront to give them the courage to do the same thing. You know, because a lot of my differently able followers, they feel a way because they can't go out and protest and they want to protest, but it's not adaptive for them. It's not, you know, safe where, you know, they can, you know, get away if something were to happen. But like I keep explaining to them, use the platform that you have. You have a voice.
Wow.
You have fingers to type. You can voice type it. Do what you have to do. Your voice can be heard either way. You don't have to physically be in the streets to be heard.
Wow. So who else we have on, Pastor E, that you're bringing in? But you know what I just heard for you, Pastor Ebony, is a viral protest. I mean, shut down Facebook, I mean, or Zoom or whatever conference platform you can get as many people on by the thousands. And that's how you guys can march. That's how you guys can be heard on a viral protest, because I definitely understand what you're saying as far as, you know, it's not, you know, safe, or if something happens, they're not able to get away. And, you know, I was even thinking, okay, they marched one day, the other day, for 7 hours. I'm like, how am I going to get home? And y'all went from one end of the city to the other end. My car is, you know, so I understand, but think about that. Think about having some type of viral march or viral protest for all your friends and even the ones that are not differently able. You know, I'll definitely join in on that, you know, for the voice to be heard as well. So stay on the line. So don't go anywhere.
Okay.
Who else do we have on the line today?
Hey, man, come on. Anybody else want to get in the conversation? Dial one, get in. I'll throw you under the bus tonight. Tonight is throw you under the covers plan. Come on in and conversate with Pastor Valores tonight as women speak now. Now, ladies, this platform is for you to be heard. This is
This
is us opening up the window for you to be heard. If you've ever sat there holding on to something and you just wanted to get it out and be heard by other ladies, and yes, us brothers are out here watching your back and praying for you and making sure everything is in order. But look, this is your platform to be heard. Minister Cherry, welcome to Women Speak Now.
Good evening,
where we go from here?
Beautiful family. Amen. Higher glory be to God, I tell you. Pastor Valores, my sister, my beautiful sister, and Pastor Ebony, I heard her speaking earlier. And Pastor E, he put on the song, Sister Sledge. I got all my sisters. We are family. Yes. You know, and it took me back thinking about Jesus when they said his mother and his brother, they were out there. And he said, anyone that does the will of God is my family. That's my family. So glory be to God. But this is an awesome topic. Where do we go from here? You know, and as you two were speaking, and I heard you speaking with her on what her little boy was asking her. So it's, I'm saying we got to go within our families, within our households, and our immediate families, and teach them Black history. They have to know their history, to know what their ancestors are going through. And like her little boy is looking at the TV, and a lot of them looking at the TV, and they're looking at people out there, and they're wondering why the police is taking it out on Black folks. But a lot of people are, so they're marching in these protests, and they're out there, and they don't even know what they're marching about. So I know on Real Talk, I think it was Pastor Eddie Jones, the minister in Norfolk. They have been saying that we have to get back to our chamber, the Chamber of Commerce, and know who's our representative for the NAACP, because all of this is our history. Our history in Christ is just to know our Black history, to know how our ancestors, how they kept Jesus as their foundation, no matter what the struggles were.
In saying that, so I'm glad that you brought up that point, because I definitely need a few more women to dial one in on this, because the question, if y'all heard her, the question was, where do we go from here? And Minister Terry said, we go back to our family. Basically, you have to go back into your own home, and you have to start doing the work in your home. I love that. I so am over here on chills and fire, like, oh, my God, like, that is so it. Because we look out so much, but we forgot to look in. And I need the mothers to chime in, because, see, I'm a mother, and I have two African-American sons. And I tell you, I will go ghetto gangster if somebody hurt my. You mean say I can't even imagine what I will go through as a mother if something happened to one of my sons. And the thing is that I have to now. Minister Terry just told me I got to go back home, even though they don't live with me. They're grown with their own, you know, with their own families. But I still have to be that voice. I still have to be that mama voice. I still have to give the guidance and direction. You know, I'm not their friend. I'm not my voice can say, I am not their friend. I will never be your friend. I'm your mother.
Oh, no, you can't. Yes.
So, exactly. So I'm always be your mother. So I need the mothers to call in that are raising sons and daughters. It's not just sons and daughters. And tell me, what do you need? Or what resources do you need, or what is it that you need to help in raising the children? Because like Minister Terry said, you know, hey, we need to teach them the history. Okay, so I know some of the schools and took out the Black history books and classes and whatever else. What resources do we need to get you in order to have these lessons? Even though you got Google and the internet, they own the doggone thing half the time anyway. But what do you need to help raise the children? And we're not taking away from the men, because that's the first thing. I know I need the men in the home. Men, I need you to show back in the home. Oh, my gosh, I need you to show back in the home. So we know we need you men. But women, what is it taking? What does it take in this time right now to be a mother of young children and try to raise them in the midst of the riots, in the midst of school being shut down, their friends being taken away from them, just life as they knew it has just turned upside down. How are you dealing with that? So if I got some mothers on here, please chime in and tell us how are you dealing with that? How are you helping your children to still have a normal, quote unquote, was supposed to be normal life, even in the midst of all this? So, Minister, you don't have no children at home, do you?
No, you know, Pastor Dolores, I don't have any children at home, but I have a grandnephew. He's sick, Jaquan, and he's been like, that's my baby. But the thing is, even through this time,
and she got
being
a 57-year-old son right here.
And Pastor, you too. Yes, glory be to God. He said, until we all convert to be like little children in the playground. Amen. But you
come
know, Pastor Dolores, but yes, but my little grandnephew, you know, since he's been out of school, he can't understand this because he's, you know, children are so innocent. He's been out of school, just getting in school, second year or so. So he is wondering, because he went to school with Indian, Asian, Hispanic, white, different ones. So he's wondering what's going on, why I can't play with my schoolmates. And this is why Jesus said, until we convert to be like little children, innocent as little children. Children, they love. They don't look at color. They're not out here protesting over something that went on with the police over the, and they turn it into more a black and white thing, but it's not. It's police brutality. It's not a black and white. It's not our race. It's police brutality. So they're trying to take the focus off that. But my thing is that with the kids, our parents, you know, with them being out in this pandemic, they've been out for a bit, and who's been schooling them? Who's going to school them? When school comes back in, I don't know, August, September, whenever they resume, are we looking ahead as if to, are we going to do some online school? Some parents are afraid to send their children back to school with the virus being still on mass protection. Who's going to be teaching this? Are you trained and equipped to do some homeschool? Are you going to take it on you to start teaching your children from home? Somebody, you know, it has to be a plan. What we're going to do, where do we go from here? So
Ebony, you still on the line? I'm sorry. Ebony, you still on the line?
She's probably still there.
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay. How did you have to adapt to Calvin having to come home? Because, girl, please, you posted some math and different stuff on, you know, on Facebook that Calvin had to do, and I'm sitting up there looking like, I am so glad my kids are grown. I can't do that. What you talking about, put the one over here in the box and then put that in a circle and bring them two together? That, 1 + 1 = 2, doggone it. When did that change, you know?
Listen, okay? Because, listen, I told Calvin's teacher, I said, ma'am, I love you. We need help. This mama is stuck, okay?
Let me ask you this question. I'm not speaking anything on anybody's children, but has any of the parents found that their children have been depressed during this time because they are away from what's been normal to them all this time? And I know Calvin is small, so he probably can adjust, but I'm talking about the ones that have older kids. Like, and they had to stay at home. The ones that had to miss graduation, I couldn't even imagine that you couldn't have a graduation when you work so hard to accomplish something that they've always said for years that the graduation rate is low. I don't see our graduation rate that low. I saw all kinds of graduations going on with African American students. So I don't know if the statistics is right. But did anybody's children go through some type of emotional down during this time? Did you see that at all, Ebony, with Calvin?
Well, actually, Calvin, at first he was happy, like, yes, I got to go to school. But then as he realized, like, I'm not going back to school, like, certain days, he was sad. Like, he was really sad. And then, you know, we started, his teacher started doing video chats with them and stuff like that, so it made it better. Like, it was hard after he realized, okay, I'm still here. I ain't went back to school yet. He started having a little sadness going on, so then we had to, like, switch up the routine, let him talk to his friends and all that type of stuff. And, you know, like, the other lady was saying, it's hard because they want to be with their friends and they can't.
Okay. Pastor, we got anybody else at dial one that's getting in the conversation?
My power just went out, so I'm trying to get in on the board right now. But if you're out there, if you want to get in this conversation, come on, dial one, get in the conversation.
Okay.
And I'm almost
there. All right,
there.
Well, we'll keep
talking. I gotta go. Yeah, just give me a few minutes. Let me get on my tablet where I could go. Go option two.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what I want to talk about too is, and Ebony, and I know if at any point in time you have to go because you know you're a wife and a mother, and you know you got things to do. So I greatly appreciate you, but you know if you can stay in, that's fine. But what I also want to talk about too, and Minister Terry, you can chime in on this one is. You know, like I said, the question is where do we go from here? But also, too, what position? I think what happened is, let me say it this way. Somehow during this time, because we talk about women speak now. Remember, I don't throw no shade on men. Somehow we've lost our power in our position. And what I mean by power and position, like I said, mother, that's a powerful position. And I'm not backing down from that one. Like I said, my sons is 29 and 27, and they know mama still will backhand the mess out of them if they get out of line. I'm not playing that. So power and position, even in the home as a wife, there still is a power and position, not power over the man. That's not what I mean. And I do have some scriptures, you know, around here to back it up. We have power of influence. You know, just like the Shunammite woman, you know, she went to her husband, just like Esther, she went to the king. We still have the power of influence even in their lives when we know that there's something right that needs to be done, okay? So, Minister Terry, when and how did we lose our power as a woman?
You know what, Pastor Villers, I don't think we lost our power as a woman, but I think as a woman, sometimes a woman can get fed up. When a woman's fed up. And then there's other women, Pastor Valores, women with children. I know sometimes women with children, you have to keep that power over your children. You can love your children, but you have to always let them know you're that authoritative figure. God has given you authority over them. You're their mother. So, but I don't think as women, I don't think we've lost power, but I think sometimes as women, we slow down in speaking and voicing ourselves on what we want, what we want, and what we expect. So if we drop our
say that again. Wait. Well, I'm gonna do a Pastor E. Wait. Say that again. We slow down in our voice and what we want and what we won't. Understand? She said the W A N T and the W O N T.
N T.
Wow.
Amen. And then also we have dropped our expectations. If you're expecting something, it should be there. You know, sometimes people may kind of say, you're set in your way. No, you like things decent and in order. I grew up in a household with a mother that kept things, and she wanted things decent and in order. So we have to hold ourselves. When we hold ourselves, and somebody holds us up to that, we will exceed, we'll reach higher. But if you hold the expectations low, that's all you're going to do. You're not going to try and go any higher. So I know, you know, even in a house full of children, growing up, there were seven of us, and in school, when one of them scored real good on their report card, we all wanted to excel on our report card. We wanted to do better. So we have to sometimes, we can lose our power if we don't push ourselves. And like that comes with fasting and praying, and discipline. Sometimes we can we have power over what we eat. It's discipline. Oh no, I think we still have the power, but we're putting it in the back burner. We're putting our
quarantine. I lost my power during quarantine.
Yes. We can't I can't know what I eat. This is, you know what, it's discipline. You know, I'm becoming more conscious of what I'm eating, especially when the pounds come on. You have to be more conscious of what you're eating. But it's like,
so, Ebony, same question to you. Ebony, you there?
Ebony.
Yes, ma'am.
So, Ebony's, she's not as young as she sounds. She's still a young woman, but she sounds 12 on the phone. But being a young woman and your circle of young women that you have influence over, that you're connected to, and, you know, I can see all their faces, the ones, you know, especially the recently married ones. Congratulations to your crew. Do you feel that even in your circle of women around the 30 age, that they seem to be losing their power and their voice?
What's her name? Terry? That's her name, right?
Yes, ma'am.
I agree with what she said. I believe that, because even with me, to an extent, it's not so that the power is lost. It's just certain things you don't know how to voice. So it's kind of like finding your voice, but then going back to what you said, being able to go to your husband, because you don't want to overstep, you know, and make the man feel little. So it's like finding the balance, but yet finding your voice too.
Okay, okay. Because, you know, like she was saying, and then I'm letting Ms. Terry chime back in too. I don't know if he got the board up, but I know he'll just jump in and introduce people if there was somebody in on the line. But
we do have a caller chime in.
Okay, go ahead and bring them in. Bring them in. Thank you.
Area code 714, last 42381. You're live on Women Speak Now and Be Heard.
Hi, good evening, everyone. This is Sister Frankie. And just to chime in with, you know, how we are as women and have we lost our voice now and you know, where do we go from here? As I'm listening to everybody, you know, I keep thinking back to my younger age when I was in my 30s and remember having my daughter and really kind of turning into a mom that wasn't a cool mom, right? I was just everything was surrounding my daughter and my family life, and I lost me. Some point, I looked in the mirror, and I said, well, who are you, and who do you aspire to be, right? And for me, it was a kind of a turning point that I had gotten so wrapped up in everybody else and everybody else's needs. And I think we do this as women. We try to become a superwoman. And knowing you're not superwoman. And you can't solve for everybody's need. You first have to look at yourself and say, okay, Father, where do I go? What do I need? And for me, it was that turning, that aha moment that said, okay, number one, you need to seek God for yourself. You've got to get a good, solid base right there. And so that began a journey for me, if you will, of pursuing God and Him unveiling to me, now who do you need to be for me, number one, for God? And then what do you extend yourself out to everybody else so you have some more to give to them? So when we think about where we are as women, you know, do we have some wisdom to share? Are we the mom? Are we the big mama? Are we the big sister? Are we the auntie? How do we exercise our wisdom? How do we, you know, kind of lead with wisdom, grace, and poise? Right. I now have a 27-year-old, and my 27-year-old called me 2 weeks ago when the riots started happening. And my niece called me the same day, both of them crying because they don't understand, well, what's going on, because they didn't grow up in, you know, a volatile situation. And now all of a sudden they see a volatile situation. So now I'm like, well, Father, what do I tell them? And all I can do now is run back to the Bible and say, okay, let's start with forgiveness. Let's start with prayer, but how do we forgive, right? There's been so many atrocities, you know, happening in America to us as women, as interracial women, because or biracial women, I should say, because my daughter is biracial, and then my niece is African American. So you got women, you got biracial, you got everything that's happening. But where do we go from here? Well, you have to deal with that pain, right? You deal with the pain, but then you say, what can I do positively in my community, right? How can I contribute to whatever cause there is? Do I join the NAACP? Do I contribute to the Black Community Fund, whatever it is? Do I spend my dollars at the local Black, here it goes, EST, right? Where do I spend my money? Where do I contribute so I can continue the movement for positiveness and continue a dialogue, right? What is that dialogue? What is the dialogue? We have to deal with the racial inequalities. We have to deal with them, right? We can't shy away from that, but we can come to the table with something to say.
There you go.
And expect our voices to be heard, and to be heard in a way. You know what? As women, I think here's another thing, because we're dealing with the woman aspect of it. I really think that, you know, we have to learn how to be assertive but not aggressive, right? Because we want to get our point heard. How do we become diplomatic, right, without being so outspoken? But also, I think, how do we come to a compromise with folks without selling out? Because we don't have to. So, and all of this, when you know, what I just
let me say this, because I want you to go on what I just heard in my mind, and I want you to keep going. But on this stuff, because you said, how do we come to a compromise without selling out? And I know earlier when you were talking about how, you know, the women, you know, seeking God. And building a solid base, and I was thinking, okay, we building on too much shaky ground. But what I see have happened from, I'm 49 years old, and what I see from the time that I think probably about 15 up until now, how our value has decreased because of compromise. Do you hear what I'm saying?
I agree.
So take what I just said, and you keep going with that one. Keep going with that.
I shall.
I like
because
that.
There's two. Well, there's one frame of thought, because I've got to go back to wisdom, and when you look in the Proverbs, it talks about a lot about wisdom, but it also talks about folly. So you can have lady wisdom and understand sound instruction, right, and be led by sound instruction, or you can be Madam Folly. You know, I read that somewhere where you can be led astray. Or be led astray, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I really think, you know, as women, we have to become wise to be able to enter in a dialogue, right? And be able to be fair enough that we can see somebody else's point and maybe give some ground, right? This is in a relationship. You have to figure out, well, what can I give up without giving myself up, right?
Mm-hmm.
How can I say things differently? How can my actions be differently to get a different result from that person or from the situation?
Okay, you preach it. You preach it.
Okay.
Because I got a scripture to back up what she just said, y'all. And the pastor, if there's anybody else that's coming in, bring them in, because I'm going to hit y'all with this scripture that basically she's talking about, okay? I'm trying to change the, give me one second, let me change the translation.
Okay.
It's Isaiah chapter 4, which I've always, if you start at the bottom of 3, because remember that you got to start at 3 to go to 4, and it says that instead of, he's talking about the lady. He's talking about the lady. He said instead of smelling sweet perfume, she's going to stink. She will wear a rope or a sash. So you ain't going to be wearing gold no more. You're going to be wearing rope. Her elegant hair is going to fall out. Her hair goes, mm-hmm. I'm reading chapter 3, verse 24. Said her hair is going to fall out. But chapter 4, starting at chapter 4, it says, in that day, so few men will be left that seven women will fight for each man.
Oh, come on.
Saying, let us all marry you. Let us all. They don't
mm-hmm.
mind sharing. They ain't side chicks
yep.
no more. They all
no.
main chicks. And we will provide, and then it says that we will provide our own food and our own clothing.
Yeah, our own uh-huh.
Only let us just have your name so we don't be mocked. Just let me just say I got a boo. Let me just say I got a
mm-hmm.
man
mm-hmm.
so I don't get
mm-hmm.
talked about amongst my friends, but you get to go do what you want to do.
Mm.
That's what I'm saying,
mm.
y'all. The value of the woman
mm-hmm.
has decreased over
it has
time
decreased.
Because of not only is it in the word and
mm-hmm.
say that it's going to be true, but we've allowed it to be
we've
true.
We've allowed it. We've allowed ourselves to be devalued.
Okay, so let me hold on top, Mother Frankie. You mother
mm-hmm.
today. Mother Frankie.
Hello, come on. That's right.
Anyone else we got, Pastor E, that need to get in on that right there? Because I'm finna take a turn with that one right there. I'm finna take a turn with all the ladies on the line. So anybody else need to jump in?
Evangelist Virginia Valentine, welcome to Women Speak Now.
Evangelist Virginia, how you doing? See there?
Okay, she may be on mute. She might have tried to hit one, and she put us in the.
That's fine. So, with Pastor Ebony.
Mr. Terry is still live.
You,
Ebony is
I know,
still
she,
live.
I know she's still live. I know. I got them both. So, I'm going to go to the hit the young women. Pastor Ebony.
Yes.
You there,
yes.
So, your
yes.
age, what we're just talking about, I don't mean to keep hopping on your age, but you're probably the youngest one in the group right now. So
mm-hmm.
I need you to only speak on what you know, which is relevant. We need relevant word right now. In your group, do you not see what we were just talking about? Because young women are not seeking God for a solid base. They're building on shaky ground on just grabbing at anything and everything, trying to make it a home or trying to make it a life. They're
mm-hmm.
not using wisdom. But what they're doing is being more so followers than leaders. You know, even in their own home, they're following what their friends doing. They're following what everybody
mm-hmm.
else is doing and not being on the positive because, and I'm not saying you and your group, but the younger women
mm-hmm.
seem to be more on the negative right now. You know, there's always, you know, they snapping fingers. You got Nicki Minaj and all them and them. All that is not positive. So I don't know how that's feeding their soul. What input can you put in on that?
Well, I definitely agree. I wouldn't even say that they're following. I would say that they're settling. Because when you don't know yourself, you're going to follow what
mm-hmm.
you see. But then you're also going to settle because you don't want to be with, quote unquote, without. So
mm-hmm.
you settle for what you think you want based on what everybody else is doing.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Minister Terry.
Yes, I'm still here, my sister.
So us going into, I think that there was a error. Hopefully we out of that error. I'm just going to call it a small error where the mamas seemed to went back 49, 48, 40, when they went back to being 20, wearing the small shorts, tight clothes, and wanting to be dropping it like it's hot and all that. Is we
right.
in that era yet of the older women wanting to be young? Are we out of that yet?
Well, you know what, Pastor Valores, I think it's a mindset. It's a mindset, and it's a mindset in how you carry yourself, but and how, where you are in your walk. A lot of women that's dropping it like it's hot. You can drop it like it's hot if you want to drop it like it's hot in your home, if you with your family, your like with your sons, your daughter-in-laws, your nieces and nephews. You know, if that's fun. But when you're out as a believer, carrying yourself as a woman, a virtuous woman, you don't want to be dropping it like it's hot. So So, I mean, you know, we don't have
you said it's okay at home.
Us as a people.
It's okay at home.
When you at home, when you at home, you can drop it like it's hot. But, you know, you don't want to be at the church picnic and they're over there saying, look at Minister Terry and Pastor Valour. They just dropping it like it's hot.
If I drop it like it's hot, it's going to come back cold. It's going to come back ice cold if I drop it.
Jesus. Amen.
Yes, but you know,
ice cold.
If we're sisters together having fun and nobody else is, if we want to just have fun, just because we know. If we're dropping it like it's hot, it's nothing to it. It's innocent. We're having fun. But some people, they will look at it and paint a different picture because we're women in ministry. They look at us different. They hold us at a higher esteem. And they will point fingers at us for dropping it out in public. Oh my God. Truthfully.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Mother Frankie, what else you want to add to that?
Mother, okay. Well, you know what? Here's the thing. I think as women, you know, we have to show, I show my daughter how to be a lady. Right?
There you go.
So demonstrate what it is to be a lady. That doesn't mean that you have to be old and decrepit and not fly, because I'm going to stay fly. Right, I'm gonna dress nice. I'm gonna have a nice pair of heels. My hair gonna be fly because that's just who I am. Because that's how I feel good. And you know, this is what I teach the folks that I mentor. You know, if you look good to yourself, and it has nothing to do with if you're beautiful or anything. We all should think we're beautiful, right? So I really don't care what you look like, right? But spruce up. I tell the young ladies all the time, spruce up, look good for yourself. Look in the mirror and feel good about yourself, because when you feel good about yourself, you can put back some positive energy in the atmosphere, okay? And so when I'm thinking about, mentoring the ladies, again, just figure out how do I be a lady? How do I approach things in a ladylike way? How am I not the loudest one in the room? How am I not the one with the shortest skirt on in the room, right? Is there some decorum anywhere? And I don't care what age level you are, right? You should dress age appropriate wherever you are, whether you be 25, 35, 55, or whatever it is. Figure out what your best assets are and accentuate them in a nice way. You can still be fly, you can still be you can still be sexy, and you can still be godly, right?
Right.
Because it's all going to come out, right? And I think what is missing is we haven't spent the time with our young girls coming up, right? It doesn't start when they get 13. It doesn't start when they get 10. No, we need to start at 2, 3, 4, 5, because, see, at some point the behavior is no longer cute. So show them at an early age and pull the coat strings a little earlier. So when they're growing up, they're growing up and they're not going to embarrass you, right? See, my daughter's no
train
don't,
up
don't
a child.
Embarrass,
I think.
Listen, don't
train
embarrass
up a child.
You. It's
there we go.
Hello,
there
train
we
up
go.
Child. Train up that child. And so
train
I think that's
a
missing.
Child.
And so now it's time for us to have the conversations with the ones that are willing to listen. Not everyone is going to be willing to listen or to receive it, right? But there are ways to have the dialogue. And I don't care, your sister who's on the phone, young married, if I'm understanding, with a child at home, and a circle of friends in the 30s, 35s, you have an area of influence that you now can influence them. You know, how do we show our friends how to be a little differently? I was always set apart from my friends. And that was because, you know what? I was a little different. I figured out why I was a little different, because God called me what? A peculiar people.
Okay? Come on,
he already
called them out.
That's how I feel.
Already.
Right? Right. So that's
amen.
How I feel.
Sorry. I know I'm not a woman, but can I jump in, because something came in my spirit in the beginning of this broadcast about Pastor Ebony, correct?
Ebony, that's right. Amen.
Just for everybody's knowledge, I don't know if you heard Pastor Valour say, but she has cerebral palsy, and that is brings a disablement on her life, and her friends are disabled. I was just so burdened in that because it just reminded me of the man at the pool of Bethesda, and had to, you know, whenever God would come or the waves would roll, people would run over him. And I'm praying for advocacy for that area. I'm going to a couple things this weekend that we're working with groups out there, and that's something I'm gonna bring up. It's like, well, what about our handicapped people? Are we forgetting them? We have to think about all racism. We got to think about all racism. We got to think about all racism. And we got to be able to step in and be able to do more. See, it's just okay to talk the talk, but we really got to kind of draw things out of what we hear and say, how can I be effective? Well, I got a voice where I can say, what about our brothers way back there in the back on the wheelchairs? Let's get them up front. Let's make them a protective area that they can participate and not feel fear. That's a prejudice. And we got to break every means of prejudice. And I just wanted my sister to know I heard her. And that we're going to be working here from the West Coast and meet you all the way up on the North Side to try to make this thing happen nationally for our handicapped and disabled friends, families, and loved ones, and our sisters and brothers in Christ. So I heard you, and I wanted to get that out of there because I know there's a word to end here tonight with Pastor Valores, but I wanted to say that to you tonight, to know you, I hear you, and God has spoken that he hears you also.
Amen.
So can I say something really, really quick?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just regarding the wording of handicap, that's when you said the man at the pool of Bethesda, that's actually one of my favorite Bible scriptures. But I just wanted to say regarding I already said I wasn't going to let nobody pass me by. I was going to make some noise or something. I wasn't going to sit there for no 38 years. I wasn't going to do that.
Right.
But regarding when you said handicap, we kind of pull away from that word.
Mm-hmm.
So just start using differently able, because when you say handicap, it makes it seem like we're incapable.
No. Come on, school me. You said...
Differently able. Yeah.
We no longer.
Okay, I got it. And see, but listen,
okay.
let me say something to you. I'm out from out here. I've never heard that on the West out here. So maybe
okay,
that's something that I could introduce out here to that community and to us that interact with our brothers and sisters that may be not as able as we are, but differently able. Text that to me, please.
Yep.
Differently able, and that we can spread this. I'll make that. Can we make that shirt? Differently able.
She has plenty of shirts because that's what she does. She what's the newest one? Purpose. Ebony?
Purpose has many forms.
She has a lot of them, but I definitely text it to you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Amen. Well, Pastor Valores, come on. Right. I know the Lord has something for you to put the icing on the cake with this tonight. Bless us with a word. All the other ladies out there, don't hang up. We're going to bring you in for final call. Anything you may be putting on your heart at the end of this segment, please stay on board.
So the one thing that I'll do, I want to encourage women by definitely walking us back through the women of the Bible who use their power in different ways. Because the one thing is that you have to understand that we all have different platforms, but you have to use what God has given you, whether you're the one that prays, whether you're the one that's the activist out front, whether you're the one that has the voice on the pages and you're the author. However it is, you still have to be able to use your power. And I'll never forget one of my favorite scriptures is about the Canaanite woman. The Canaanite woman, she used her power, and she had a role for all women that have been rejected. Because you remember when the Canaanite woman came to Jesus, she came to Jesus about her daughter who was possessed with a demon. And Jesus said to her, basically, he said, it's not lawful for me to take the bread out of my people's mouths and give it to dogs. And she said, Lord, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. So she represents all the women that have been rejected for whatever reason. She, you know, I don't look like you. I don't dress like you. I don't, you know, I don't act like you. I don't have the things that you have. But one thing I do have is I have faith. So whatever it is, that the one thing that you have the power to is to exercise your faith, women. Exercise your faith on any situation, no matter what it looks like, no matter who comes against you, no matter who tries to oppress you, exercise your faith. Then we go to the Shunammite woman. The Shunammite woman, she was childless. I love it because when the man of God said, you're going to have a child, she said, don't play with me. Listen, you don't understand. I done cried about that thing. I done cried about that thing so much that I done go ahead and gave it over to God, and I'm living my life, and now you're going to tell me the thing that I've been crying about all these years is finally going to come to pass? She said, don't play with me. But before she was able to get that blessing, she used her power of influence over her husband to make a room for what? The man of God. So I'm going to use that as the church, because as women, we have power even in the church. And when we talk about having power in the church, we're talking about to serve, okay? She served the man of God. She gave him food to eat. She gave him a place to stay. She gave him whatever it is that he needed, because he was the walking church at that time. So as women, we have to use our power to serve and give. In her giving, she got. Hear what I'm saying? In her giving, that's when she got. But if we're going to use our power to make a change, we cannot just go back into our churches with the same attitude. We can't go back into the churches and using the power against, talking about who you don't like and who you don't work with. That day is over with, y'all. That day is so over with. Our serving brings a blessing to others. Okay? Our serving is what is needed. You can't talk about the woman that got seven kids in the church and they won't sit down. Help her with them seven kids. Now, God gave me a little anointment for children. I ain't got that much. But yet still, I'm not going to talk about my sister. I'm going to help my sister. So, therefore, the power to serve is the one thing that we have to use. Then we need to use the power like Ruth, the power to change those situations. My God, I love Ruth's story. Ruth used her power to change her situation. Ruth was like, I don't know what lies ahead, but it sure is better than where I've been. Okay? So we've been, if you look behind you right now, where we've been is ooh, my goodness, that's dark, cloudy, mucky, muddy water. But what's better is definitely better coming than what's been. So you have to use the power to change your mind, your heart, your thinking, and your posture to God if you want to change your life. So use your power to change, because she started a fire. Let me tell you, because she used that power, she changed the whole nation by birthing who? Obed. Who's who? The father of David. Who was what? A king. Who was what? The line of Jesus. When you use your power to change your situation, you don't know what lies ahead, and you will birth out greatness, women of God. But you got to use that power. You can't be silent. You can't be quiet. Then you have to be like Deborah and use your power to lead, or you got to be like Abigail and use your power to stop a war, or be like Hannah and use your power to pray to birth great leaders, not just out of your womb, but even in the spirit, women of God. Use your power of prayer, or like Esther, use your power to save a nation. And of course, like Mary, use your power, man, to birth the greatest man alive. But you won't know, because guess what? And I understand. Where do we go from here? We need to go forward in the authority that we have in your homes, on your jobs, in your church, and in your community. This is not the time to be afraid. This is the time to stand up. The first place, like we said before when we was talking, is stand up in your home. Man, stand up for your kids. Talk to your kids. Teach your kids, your grandkids, your nieces, your nephew, or any child. I know. We got scared. We talked about that earlier. What happened? We got scared. Like Mother Frankie said, we got quiet. I know we took a back seat because we didn't want to ruffle no feathers. I know, because I did it too. And I know this, and I'm sorry. Please, I'm not being insensitive to what I'm about to say. Please hear me. But guess what? We also have had a knee on our neck for years, because as women, we always wonder how we were going to put food on the table. We wonder who was going to hire us with just a high school diploma. We wonder, was that man going to walk out on us? We wonder, was he going to come home and abuse us? We've been living in unsafe environments and conditions. We've been doing all this, but when have we been doing it? But we've been doing it. So don't let that be the thing that takes your power and your voice. Speak up.
Yeah.
Stand
yeah.
up. Lift up.
Yeah.
Build
mm-hmm.
up. We have to. And I pray, and pray with me and pray for me. I pray that today be the last time that when somebody says something to me or want me to do something in a mega way, I stop shaking my head and saying, I'm just a woman. They don't want to hear me. They're not going to listen to me because I'm a woman. Even if they don't listen, I'm not going to stop speaking. I can't anymore. You can't anymore. Those that are listening to me on the line, don't just say, I'm just a woman. That's the most powerful thing on this earth besides the anointing of God. It's a woman. Because guess what? We have a power to change. We are raising the next generation. We're imparting our wisdom into the next generation. So therefore, you got to build yourself in order to build them. I always tell my children to do better than me, but I had to give them something to do better than. You have to be the one to set the line for what the kids are going to strive for. If all you set it for, if you set your standard for low, then what your kids got to reach for? You got to set your own standard high, so then therefore they'll make theirs higher. And definitely, if I had enough time, I don't. I definitely would back, man, our black men, they need us. This is not the thing. I understand he hurt your feelings. I understand he walked out. I understand they done did a lot of things to you. But, baby, now is not the time to rehash those memories. Where do we go from here? We sure don't need to go back. We definitely need to move forward. Amen? Pastor Eve? Any woman?
Yes, ma'am.
Cause I know. All right.
Well, we are at the end of our broadcast. We want to give everybody an opportunity to shout out, give any closing remarks. Then we'll come back to you, Pastor Valores, and let you pray us out of here. Thank you all for being a part. We want to grow this thing every Thursday. We want you to be heard. This is your platform. And if you need to preach a word, get in touch with any of our covenant partners, any of our ministers here on the network, and we will make it available to you to come and share your gift here on the Now Network. God bless y'all. Go, Minister Terry, Minister Frankie, Minister Ebony, and then Pastor Valores.
Amen. Amen. I tell you, beautiful sisters, this has been awesome. I love what Minister Ebony said earlier about balance. Mm-hmm. It takes balance, and it takes balance so we can be like Minister Frankie said, superwoman or super mom. And Pastor Valores, you wrapped it up, and we have that power within us to serve, to give, and the power of change. And we have that power to love unconditionally. And thank you. Love you all. And God bless you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Bless you, Minister Terry.
Amen.
Minister Frankie. Your phone breaking up.
Okay. All right. Can you hear me now?
Yep. Yes, I can.
Okay. All right. Perfect. Thank you guys so much. Thank you, Pastor Valores, for the thought-provoking dialogue that we had, you know, and one of the things that you said towards the end was really, you know, the woman having power and finding the voice, right, and being courageous and not being scared. And that always reminds me of a passage that I love. It comes out of Deuteronomy, and it tells us that God is the one who goes with me to fight for me against my enemies to give me victory. So he goes with me in anything that I do. So that means I can be courageous. I can have a voice and I can have power because he is right there with me. So thank you guys so much. And I look forward.
Now.
I look forward to our next conversation.
Amen. Minister Ebony.
I don't have anything to say.
I thank you for joining in on this evening. So we're going to close with a word of prayer. Thank you for all the women that was part of this panel discussion. Thank you, all the listeners, as well. Also, too, don't forget that I have a new book out for those that are divorced.
Amen.
And that are single. PTSD is out to kind of help you on how to find the new you after those type of situations. So definitely want to pick that up. It's a self-help book now. It's not just reading my story. I put you to work. You got assignments in that book. So make sure you pick up a copy, like me on Facebook, and I can definitely get that to you. But I thank Pastor E for this. He always pushes me and encourages me. And the power of the woman is very strong and much needed in this time. So women, I need you to stand up and be heard in the positive way. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I bless you. I thank you and I praise you. I give you all the glory, Lord. I give you all the glory for all the women, Father, across this great earth and across this nation, oh Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I'm asking, Father, that you begin to touch each and every woman, touch their mind, their heart, their spirit. Lord, I first ask you to take care of anything that concerns them. You know the weight that's on the woman.
Yes, sure.
You know the pressures that are on the woman. You know the things that she has to try to provide, the places she has to go, work, school, kids. Lord, you know all that. But you said, Father, that you'll supply all of our needs according to our riches and glory. So, Father, right now, we cast all our cares upon you, Father. We give you all our weight. We give you all of our burdens, oh, Father. And, Lord, we just say, Lord, just please, just give us your glory, your love, your joy, your peace, your long-suffering, your patience, oh, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. But then, Lord, build us up as strong women in you first, God. So then, therefore, Lord, we can be strong women in our homes, in our communities, in our churches, for our children, for our husbands, for our family, oh, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I don't want any woman to feel that they don't have a voice. God, Lord, in the name of Jesus, help them to find their voice, whether their voice is speaking out, whether their voice is on paper, whether their voice is in prayer, whether their voice is in singing, God, whatever it is, Lord, help them to find their voice. So then, therefore, God, they make a great impact for change. Because where do we go from here? We go to you. We go to you, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. So, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for Pastor E. Lord, I ask that you continue to bless this network. I ask you to continue to bless the Women Speak Now as it continues to grow and go further and reach many more women. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Ain't nobody stopping my shine. They try to break me, try to take me out, but I got Jesus on my side. So bad I thought it would die, but ain't no power stronger than the one that came and laid down his life. And I got mountains to climb, but the enemy can't stop me, cause there's a calling on my life. So when I'm crying, don't last too long, cause he gon' step in and make it alright. Won't he do it? He said he would. Fight your battles for you, they gon' wonder how you sleep at night. Won't he do it? Like, yes, he will. Anybody tell you something different, you know that's a lie. You gon' look back and be so amazed.
only one that could come and make it right. So when